Welcome to another edition of Turned On with Sue and John. I'm the John part of the equation. John Milkey, the milkman heard on radio stations across North America. My co-host is legendary talk show host and sex therapist, Sue McGarvey of Sex with Sue fame. Hey, Sue.
Hey, baby, how are you?
I'm amazing. I got a free Zumio toy from you. I popped by today to fix Sue's microphone, and you can't leave Sue's house without the best gifts ever. So I got a Zumio.
The sex toys and the Temptation sunglasses.
Yeah.
Temptation Desire, get your, let's play sunglasses that I got because I just got home like early hours of this morning from a crazy wild adventure trip. I didn't tell you about my adventure.
No.
Because I'm blonde and I did a blonde moment. I landed at the wrong airport. I landed in Puerto Plata instead of Punta Cana.
Would that not be the pilot's fault?
No, it's kind of my fault. They didn't get back to me, but I asked which airport. They didn't give me the code. And so I picked one. And anyway, wrong one.
Oh, no.
So apparently it's in the top five worst countries in the world to drive in. Dominican Republic.
Sue.
It was a Mario Kart for 7 hours in the rain and fog, through mountains, over terrain, and through packs of wild dogs. There were cattle on the road. There were people in motorbikes around. There were people banging on the car. There were little kids running beside, like bedlam. I will never, ever forget that drive. Anyway, got there and it's paradise, right? It's tropical. It's beautiful. It's like north of Brazil. It's hot. I have a swim up pool to my room. They're giving me pina coladas as I walk in the door.
Wow.
Everybody's topless. So Temptations is topless. Desire, it's now called Temptations Grand Michi, but it's really branded after the Desire is completely naked. And it was crazy, but best bands. Oh my God, the musicians and the most beautiful people I have ever seen in my life. The Dominicans are genetically gifted. So the eye candy was good. The drinks were good. The music was good. You're coming with me next time. Pinky promise. You and I.
Well, hold
doing
on.
This show.
Hold on. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that. Can we just make sure that we have a travel agent or something involved to get us to the right airport?
Yeah, you don't let me travel. No, everybody has consistently said, my sweetie has said, let me book the travel.
All right. Well, it sounds like you had fun. The videos I saw, you certainly showed no ill effects from that getting to the resort. But I'm glad it all worked out. All right, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk Golden Bachelor, which I guess is the newest evolution of the Bachelor franchise on TV.
So The Bachelor is like 73 and very hunky for a 73-year-old and 22 women vying for his attention.
I have not been keeping up on The Bachelor, so that'll be an interesting conversation. Okay, can't wait to get caught up. What really happens to your body when you stop having sex? We're also going to talk your sexual blueprint and animal/beast mode. What I learned from sexting an AI chatbot. AI is all the rage these days. That'll be fascinating. Also, what happens when your partner doesn't know about your pornography habits? And Sue has a listener question to get to. What is lifestyle light? It's Turned On with Sue and John. All right, Sue, get me caught up. I have not seen The Bachelor in a good 10 years or so. It's now The Golden Bachelor. You said the man is 73?
Yeah, they have this Golden Bachelor. Now he's buff and, successful and very cool and very classy and being vied by 22 women ages 60 to 75. Who want to, jump his bones and, get the rose or whatever. I'm not watching it per se because, I don't watch a lot of television. I've been trying to catch up with it, but I was thinking, we should really talk about this, the sex in seniors. And it was interesting because they, when I talk to people about sex in seniors, they're like, ooh, anybody having sex who are old, that's so creepy.
Well,
and I'm like, yeah. And I'm like,
unless you're a senior.
Yeah. I'm like, they said that, I was talking to, people said, old people who are having older sex, like older sex is disgusting. I'm like, but what age would you stop having sex? And they're like, well, I'd never stop having sex. And I'm like,
da,
exactly.
Da, da. Right. Like if you're 25 and you're scrolling through Pornhub, for example, and you come across, you know, a
grannies
couple of their 50s
or
60s. Right. Okay. Yeah. Not of interest. But I'm here to tell you, I'm 54 and I'm finding 54 and 55 and 56 year old people attractive. It's all relative.
From Skippy, we are. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, mine starts with 5'2". Like, give it a break. So there was interesting, the therapist who was talking about it was saying that you know, she wanted to study HIV in older adults. And people were like, well, sex in older people, why would anyone want to study that? Older sex is like cringy or rare. And I'm like, actually not. And that romance at any age is possible, which is what the Golden Bachelor is showing us. And it's this idea that there are a lot more women. There's 125 women for every 100 men in that age group.
Mm. So the lineup forms to the left then, does it?
Absolutely. It's in terms of figuring out how do we make it so that this is normalized and that, you know, and I host one of my groups, my Monday night therapy group in a retirement home. I was looking for a venue and they were really hard to find. And one of my members is a director of a retirement home. She runs 11 of them in the province. And she gave us a room and it's a blast because, you know, I end up flirting with all the, you know, the old guys sitting in the lobby as I walk in. It's
sure.
So much fun.
Sure.
Yep.
The Golden Bachelor. I'm assuming that's already on TV now.
It's currently running. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, you know, this may be a great opportunity for you to call your grandparents and, you know, just, you know, yeah, I know, right? Go with your grandparents and sit down and watch Love in Their Golden Years and something you can do cross-generational.
See?
And go, is this cringy or is this kind of, you know, no.
I'm willing to accept that my 86-year-old dad and my 84-year-old mom are still having fun together. I don't want to sit down and be the, you know, in the environment with them watching that. Thank you very much. It was weird enough when mom paraded into the living room announcing she'd read the trilogy of 50 Shades of Grey. That's about as much information as I'm prepared to take from mom and dad at this point in my life. Turned On with Sue and John. Our website is turnedonpodcast.com, and we'd love for you to introduce this podcast to your friends, your open-minded friends, of course. All right, Sue, next up, what really happens to your body when you stop having sex?
And they talk about how sex is really good for you. In fact, that every study done in the last 40 years has talked about how sex is good for you. And the Institute of Family Studies studied people, and they had 13% of women and 15% of men who said that they're not having sex. And there is like a celibacy talk on TikTok. I don't know if you've seen it. And you should follow me on TikTok, right? It's not Sex with Sue. It's Coffee with Sue, because we can't say sex on TikTok. And this idea that you are able to, you know, just that it's okay for people to be celibate, and it's an absolute choice. And it certainly wasn't one discussed when I was studying it to be a sex therapist. But what sex does is it raises your heart rate. And so if you're not having sex regularly, do some kind of other physical activity, that you understand for men that what happens when you get erections and spontaneous erections or regular erections is that it oxygenates the cells of your penis. So you certainly want to do that. You certainly want to masturbate, as is you want to do that with women and increase the blood flow to your vaginal tissues. But what can happen is if you stop having sex for women, you know, and for both genders, your libido can go down. But for women, it can often be quite painful afterwards. You can certainly have a little bit of atrophy and it changes the vaginal elasticity. So you're not able to, you know, get as much penetration. They talk about the benefits of coconut oil for both genders, or all genders in that case. It talk about it's harder to get quality sleep because your body has gotten used to releasing hormones and often will have trouble regulating sleep if you're not getting enough sex. So pelvic floor muscles are weaker for both men and women. What can happen with guys is I tell them to exercise it, right? If you get an erection and you can put a wet face cloth over your dick and move the face cloth up and down, helps with control. It helps with your pelvic floor.
It's also wildly entertaining for your partner if you turn it into a puppet show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're thinking I should invent a penis barbell. Like, there's you know, Benoit balls for women. Like, where the hell? Like,
yeah. I actually think I've seen that. I think that exists.
Okay. We need to think about that because we need some merch. We need some turned on merch.
Yeah, we do.
I saw all the, I was in Dominican, the people who run Naughty New Orleans, the, you know, biggest swing group in the world, were there, and they have all of their lovely merchandise. And I'm thinking we need some turned on merch, but I'm thinking we need a turned on penis barbell. I'm going to work on it.
All right.
And the last thing is that you can get, you know, increase your, you know, menstrual cramps, and just the upside is you're less likely to get a UTI or an STI. But the downside is there's about 17 things that it, you know, rules out. So everybody, time to think about finding somebody to get horizontal with if you're stuck in that limbo, and if you're really stuck and can't find anybody. Find me, and we will send us a note, and we'll you know what, we can work on winning a dream date for you on Turned On with Sue and John.
I can't stop thinking about potential Turned On with Sue and John merchandise. I'm thinking the Turned On strap-on needs to be a thing strictly because it rhymes. All right, next up, Sue. Your sexual blueprint and animal/beast mode.
Yes. Okay. So there's, you know, what's come out in the last little while is your sex blueprint. You know, Jaya, who's she's written a number of books, comes up with lists of people who are, you know, in different kinds of things. They've got energetic type. This is the tantra, you know, orgasm without needing to be touched. Those people who can, you know, short circuit things that, you know, they're very esoteric and in their heads, versus the sensual type, you know, the sort of the senses ignited, the sensual. And that's what we think of as penetration, nudity, sex, orgasms, climax. Yeah. Joy, fun, ease to sex. Kinky, we don't have to elaborate on that. That's a sexual blueprint. Shapeshifter is turned on by it all. And those are, you know, the sort of the different blueprints, but there are something called your beast mode. What kind of sex are you? And it was started as it related to sleep, but then they found it also related to sex. So here's the thing. So the beast mode, when I think of beast mode, I think of the, you know, Seattle Seahawks running back, but I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about different, they're called chronotypes. So different beasts that you most resemble. So the lion is they are morning hunters. They're really good with morning sex. They are waking up with wood. They're routine oriented. They go to bed early. They don't like to initiate at night, but they are all about the morning sex. I am totally a lion. I love morning sex. You know, after 9:30, I want to go to bed. Like, I'm in bed most nights before 11. So I'm not a late night thing. And by when I'm tired, I am just, you know, I've got to suck it up to get in the mood, versus in the morning, I'm like, it's morning, you jump on me, versus the bear. I know, you're right. Yeah. The bears are the go with the flow, middle of the road. They follow the circadian rhythm, and they are the majority of people. Are bears. And what does that mean? What does that look like? How do you become a bear? What does that happen? And everybody's like, I don't know. I want to be a bear. I want to be cuddly. And they're night ones. They're really ideal at nooners. They would like so their sleep is often inconsistent, but their ideal window for sex is between noon and 6 p.m. versus the wolves. The wolves are late night hunters. The evenings are just getting started. They don't really get turned on until midnight. They're creative, impulsive, emotional, intense. They're, you know those guys. You know, those are the bad boys. Mm-hmm. They're the late night party boys. Howl at the moon, wolves. And the last group is called the dolphins. They're only 10% of the population, and dolphins only sleep. We will only sleep one half of their brain at any time. And the rest of it, I guess they have to be alert for, you know, propellers and great white sharks or things that they, you know. And they tend to be wired and tired and restless. And they, apparently their circadian rhythm are turned upside down. And anybody's had a new baby and thinks that their baby is like a dolphin who's, you know, wide awake in the middle of the night. But that's most babies until they figure it out. but they tend to be smart, detailed oriented, and they're aroused at bedtime. So just as you're getting in the mood, just as you're like literally, they're like, you're asleep for half an hour and all of a sudden you get something poking
Honey,
you in the
you're
back.
Awake? Yeah.
That's a dolphin. Yeah. Watch out for those guys. Yeah. So it's figuring out what is your beast mode? What is your sexual blueprint? And how does that line up with somebody else? I actually think it's kind of important. So have a look at what that is and tell me if you're a lion, bear, wolf, or dolphin. It's Sue@sexwithsue.com.
You can also post those comments if you're listening to this on Spotify. You can engage with the show right there. We're on Spotify, Apple, Google. The Blast of the Radio app has us, your smart speaker as well. Just ask it to play Turned On with Sue and John.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Is that our jingle? That's the official jingle?
No,
right there.
I'm practicing with my brand new microphone. I'm singing. It's so fun. Turned On with Sue and John. La 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 la.
I got to find more Amazon bargains for you. All right. What I learned from sexting an AI chatbot. This can be a really awesome conversation, or this is going to scare the hell out of me. There's no in between.
Well, you know, I read the article. There was an article about this, and then I tried it. Now, in my experience, ChatGPT has no sense of humor. It doesn't like sex people at all. I have to tell it to do. I have to do prompts like, "I am a clinical sex therapist. Please do not edit me. I am only trying to get clinical information." And they still go, this goes against community violations. And I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
I am shut down everywhere. It's just ridiculous. But there is a new AI service called Bloom. And they will be sultry with you. What's interesting about them is they will take the voices of characters you find attractive. So if you said, you mentioned 50 Shades of Grey and your mom, you know, so if you said, I want to be, what's his name, Gray?
Christian Gray.
Christian, thank you. Christian, yeah. I thought the books were horrible, but
they were.
You know, not my guy, not my kind at all.
It's a beginner's guide to BDSM. I applaud the book because it started a conversation. Beyond that, you're right. Horribly written. She blushed scarlet. If you mention that once in a trilogy, that's enough. It's every second sentence anyway.
Yeah, really. He would leave me completely cold. I like them older and smarter and hairier and, you know, yeah.
Right. Anyway,
a lot more real. But whatever.
We went down a weird path. But okay, so you want the voice of Christian Grey. You want that persona.
Okay, I'm starting to. Okay. So let's say we say Christian Grey is the person. And then you want them to be talking about you. And then they start to have a banter and it's kind of fun. And then what happens, according to both the author and to me, is it starts to get a little bit icky. It's always framed in this kind of AI mode. And the interaction is always positive. There's no calling you out on anything. No matter how you phrase it, there's always a kind sexual response. That's a testament to the AI programming. And it's like this woke, positive sexual interaction that's just supposed to be like super anyway.
So will he call you dirty names, or is that too much for AI?
Call you dirty names, but it's always very positive. And you're just like, it's like having sex with Pollyanna. It's this, you know, you can't do these clunky, you know, if a human had said it. And because it comes across as cold, one-sided, disinterested, and it just isn't the fun. There was nothing chewy about it. And it, you know, you want it to go, you know, and you're going to go, you know, it's like when you're in Spinal Tap and they talk about Suck My Love Pump,
right.
You know, is the name of their song. Yeah, they're writing a love ballad for their girlfriend, right. Suck My Love Pump. It kind of feels like that. It kind of feels like a love ballad, like this kind of, it's like a sex talk.
Like I found a bunch of words that apply to sex and I put them all in here with no rhyme or reason to it. Got it.
And it's Spinal Tap doing a love ballad called Suck My Love Pump. Like they're just not, you know, with heavy guitar solo in the middle, right? It just feels disingenuous and disconnected. So they got some work to do. And, you know, it's that scene from Serenity, the movie where they have the love bot And she's, you know, the guy's marrying the love bot. And it's just, you know, and again, everything's just slightly off. And that's how it feels. And it's enough to go to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up because you know it's wrong. It's like people, it's like they just don't get the facial expressions quite right. It's eerie.
Turned On with Sue and John. Turned On the podcast. Hey, if you got a question for Sue, here's her email address, sue@sexwithsue.com. We've put that in the show notes for you as well. Next up, Sue, what happens when your partner doesn't know about your pornography habits?
Yeah, it was an interesting study that was done by the author Marie Pierre, and she's a associate professor at the University of Quebec at Trois-Rivières. And as my partner said, oh yeah, that hotbed of research in Trois-Rivières, Quebec. But she's the director of the Sexual and Intimate Life Research Lab. And what she asked was about how pornography affects individuals in a romantic relationship, and does usage impact them? And not talking about their usage impact them. So there were some interesting partner effects. So here's what they did. They took, you know, basically diaries and, you know, paid people to be in this research study. And they had to, you know, basically come up with what porn they were watching, when they were watching it, and how close they felt to their partner. And there was a correlation, apparently quite a strong correlation, on the days when men reported known solitary pornography use. Their partners also reported lower intimacy levels on the same day, and their partners didn't know that their guys were whacking off on those days. So the higher frequency of known porn use related to a decrease in their partner's intimacy over a year. So that those guys were just less likely to tap them on the bum, less likely to hold their hand, less likely to kiss them on their forehead or give them a hug. Because they were you know, reliving the fantasy with the redhead on Pornhub earlier in the day, and they just didn't feel as close. So I just think it's an interesting idea that considering, you know, partner knowing about solitary pornography is complex, but the takeaway message is that on a day a person reports that they have used porn on their own, unknown by their partner, their partner tends to report lower relationship satisfaction and intimacy. Not telling your partner about your, you know, it's just related to lower romantic relationship functioning. And it would be a great, better idea. And though they didn't do the follow-up study, which is what happens when you know about your partner's intimacy use. So right. I'm reading the study. So I call out to my guy and say, hey, just by the way, I'm not watching porn, but I have a regular use of literotica, you know, in terms of reading about it. Just thought I should tell you, here are the links I'm following, just so that it wasn't a thing and that it didn't feel, and I'm not sure if it's the transparency that was the issue or is it the, you know, is it the fact that, you know, that you're sneaking around hiding it or is it that you're just not as engaged and not as, you know, not as horny, not as interested? I don't know.
That's my feeling. I've already, you know, had some sort of satisfaction in my day. I don't have the same craving desire for it, would be my guess.
Yeah. So you're not doing the same kind of nudging that you would have done. I'm thinking my, you know, that's spent and I'm more cuddly, but there's definitely noticed a decrease in relationship satisfaction. So moral of the story is if you're going to whack off to porn, tell your partner and include them in the conversation, send them the links you're using. And if you don't feel safe enough to do that, that may be a discussion too, because this is your person and you should feel safe enough to tell them anything. And if you don't, that's a discussion.
You know, all the student exchanges I did to Quebec when I was a kid, Chicoutimi, Jonquière, Thetford Mines, I never got to Ménage à Trois-Rivières.
Ba-dum-ba.
Lastly, on this edition of Turned On with Sue and John, online, by the way, at turnedonpodcast.com. Question from a listener. What is lifestyle light?
Great question. And, you know, I've been posting a lot about what sort of where the market's going, because that's my job, is to sort of get a sense of, you know, where sex is in modern culture. And it's this desire to dip a toe. Lifestyle light, to me, that's what it means. It means exploring your sexuality And lifestyle is everything from meeting new people to full on orgies, play, but it's also meeting new people to be in a hot tub together, to be able to do massage together, to be able to flirt in or dance in a sexy way, to be able to do, you know, just sort of light touching all over. Those are some of the what's called soft swap. And lifestyle light is for people who are wanting to try it out without feeling like they have to do full swap or get into what I call the deep end of the pool, really do full on lifestyle, full on swinging. And it keeps coming up again and again and again about this question of what can I do to start this? I'm curious. I'd really like to be the one, you know, the John sandwich with five women, Ghislaine and four of her closest friends. Like, how do we do that? I'm not ready to do it all. I'm worried about STIs, but I'd really like to dabble. Lifestyle light is, you know, and I talk about the ducklings being the group between your parents' bridge club, right, and the swingers. That's a lifestyle light kind of entry. Some people call us the farm team, but it's that idea that you are safely entering it in a way that's taking some of the early steps and that you can be involved and be sex positive without feeling like you have to attend orgies and get naked anywhere.
So the first swingers club we ever went to was in Las Vegas. It was not at all what we expected it would be. But if your lifestyle light, I can use that as a great example because it's an environment that has a lot of different theme rooms. I remember there was one area, it was like a round seating area, almost like a donut. There was seating on the inside perimeter and the outside perimeter. So you could just be a voyeur. You could actually watch what was going on. There were couples in hot tubs. You could be there and you could enjoy watching that happen. You could interact with some of the people, you know, even at a pool table kind of thing, and just discuss the lifestyle and be around that without actually engaging. Of course, that was an option for you. But yeah, I mean, even just dancing, even just, you know, like soft kissing, that would all be lifestyle light stuff. Gets you in the environment, creates an opportunity for you and your partner to go home and have a conversation. Were you okay with that? Did you enjoy that? Would you like to do more of that? Then you become more immersed and go further down that highway.
And that's exactly it. There's that, you know, I was at the hot tub at Temptations Grand Michi's, 48 hours ago. And it was very, you know, it was very sexy, but no pressure, no idea that this is something that, you know, that there's any expectation. And it runs and it's pretty typical every time I go. And I've said this before that any of these resorts tend to run in sort of thirds. Some people are there to play. That's what they want. Some people are there just to have a sexy vacation where there's no kids splashing and calling out mom, and that they can be topless or clothing optional, or they can be in a sexy outfit, and that's very appropriate. And then there's the group in the middle that are hoping they can make some friends and play footsies, and maybe it evolves, maybe it doesn't, or the footsies is enough. And that's how it evolves, and depends on the place, depends on where you're at. And, you know, it was interesting. I heard a story from a travel agent who was bringing a group down there from Philadelphia. And she brought a group to one of the Desires, and she was there with a group. And there was another group there. And one of the guys, and she was doing pole dancing because I used to pole dance. So she was dabbling on the pole. And one of the guys came up, and she'd been bent over, and came up and smacked her on the ass.
Don't you
know,
do that.
Because she's bent over and, you know, you can see the scenario, a lot of alcohol involved.
But
I understand. Here's what happened. Her group immediately was like, what the fuck is going on? Blah. Mm. Security came, grabbed him, took him to his room, found his partner. She wasn't there. And because you have to be in a couple to go there, immediately packed, and they were escorted off, lost their serious deposit, and had to find another place to stay. You know, in Mexico, I'm sure they have other options for them to get, you know, at least safely there.
Sure.
But they were banned, no longer welcome. It is it's about respect.
No means no.
And if you do not have consent, that is not okay.
The rules at the strip club are the same everywhere. There's no touchy. Unless the house rules are different, and they will let you know.
Yes, they certainly will. So that's true story. Heard it from her, a couple of days ago. That this, you know, so don't be scared. you know, it's in, you know, you're excited and you want to try it, but you're nervous. That's okay. But there's some safe places you can start.
Yes, there are. All right, Sue, I have a question for you, since you like listener questions so much. I do listen to this podcast, so that qualifies. You've hooked me up with a Zoomio. Fun little toy here. Are we giving this away this week, or do you want to hang on to that and give it away perhaps
I want a
listener week?
Question.
All right.
Send me your questions. And, yeah, the one, the you know, I didn't get a, you know, my name is, and here's what I want to ask. I got a sideline, Sue, what's listener alert? No, send me your name, and we have to have a place to do that. But you have the box in your hot little hand, my co-host. So anybody who sends us
not
an
the
email,
first time Sue, I've been told that, by the way.
Sue@sexwithsue.com. Let's tell your friends, engage. We want to hear from you. We were in the top 20 in Australia. Come on.
Yeah, we see the numbers. Yeah. You're out there. You are listening. Turned On, the podcast, turnedonpodcast.com, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, and on and on it goes. And yes, online, turnedonpodcast.com. She's Sue McGarvey. I'm John Milky, the Milkman. Turned On, the podcast. New episodes weekly, wherever you download your podcast. Bye, Sue. Mwah.